Hello.
Hey guys.
Hi.
Welcome back to the pod.
Yes, welcome.
This is episode 12.
Is it episode 12?
Yeah. Wow. I know. Crazy, right?
I'm happy that you keep track of all that because I literally don't.
I had to actually double check when I was updating who we were going to be talking about.
Has it gotten to this point? Are we literally like... I guess, guys... It's 12. That's the number where we start to lose track. And it's only going to go up from here. So stay tuned.
We kind of started to lose track back, episode 6, I think.
But... Oh, I fully wasn't paying attention. I also don't really, care when these episodes are.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
True.
Because, we're going to probably, throw in other stuff. So it's like...
I mean, and they're going up, a month after we record them because I'm so slow at editing.
Yeah. So it's
just
this is
slowest.
An anytime podcast.
Yeah.
Listen to the back, the front, the middle.
They don't have to be listened in chronological order, really.
I mean, if you somewhat want to know about our personal lives, then tough luck, because you're always going to be a month behind us, bitches. Sorry, what's happening now isn't relevant to you until
March. Trick.
It's not even Valentine's Day yet for us.
It's not. This will be my first Valentine's Day that I'm single in 5 years.
How do you feel about that?
I don't really know. I don't love it.
Jocelyn, you can be my Valentine.
Oh, thanks, Nisa.
I have a Valentine, but...
I know you do.
I never asked him to be my Valentine, so you can be mine.
Oh, thank you. That makes me feel so special.
You get all the perks of being my Valentine now. You gotta know it comes with perks.
Yes.
Can't reveal to you the specifics, because I haven't quite worked them out myself. But there are perks, I can tell you that.
Do I get to come see Raisin?
Yeah, that's a perk.
Perfect.
Right there.
There it is.
Check that one off
that's
the list.
That's the perk.
It only needs to be one? So you're satisfied now?
Yeah.
Happy Valentine. Okay.
Perfect. Nisa, you can be my Valentine. You can come see Sylvia if you want to.
Sweet. I just saw her. She was literally just here.
She was.
Cute little bean.
For those of you that don't know, Nisa recently acquired another cat.
Yes, I have a new child.
Mm-hmm.
My second daughter.
Her name is Raisin, because she's got a little Raisin on her nose.
She is an asshole, I'm finding out.
Really?
And I love her so much, but she is such a fucking punk. And I don't think I've had a cat that was, quite as much of a punk as she is. So, I'm having to be, a little harsher with her. And it just, wounds me. But also, I love it because Nutella's, judge and jury. I'll stick her over by Nutella. Yeah. And if she calms down and lays down next to Nutella, Nutella doesn't do anything. But if she tries to act up, Nutella gives her a beat down.
Oh.
And I don't have to.
Oh, good. Nutella's taking the reins back.
I'm like, Nutella, babysit. And then Nutella's like... And, smacks her a little bit. And she goes and hides for an hour. And I'm like, perfect. I can get shit done. It's great.
Work from home.
We literally have a system. Me and my other cat. My other older cat. They're like, exactly your part, which I think is really cool.
So cute.
But totally fucking different personalities.
Yeah.
Both sweethearts. Like, really good cats. Like, not mean at all. They're just friendly and cuddly.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them.
Mm-hmm. I can attest.
Yeah, but, one's a little shit and likes to climb up, anywhere she can climb, she figures it out. She got all the way up in my closet, and then she couldn't get down, and she started yelling.
Oh, no.
And I go in my closet, I'm like, you got the fuck up there. You can get back down. And she's just, trying to slide down my hangers, real slow. Because I was I'm not going to do anything unless you're about to break a bone. I'm not going to interfere.
That's what Mandy, when we first got her, she would climb up the tree that was near the house outside, jump over onto the roof, and then yell because she couldn't figure out how to get down. And it's what the fuck, girl? You got up there somehow. Get the fuck back down.
It's literally you have to leave them alone to figure it out. Otherwise, they never will.
But she just kept doing it. And it was why are you doing this?
I love that she's just she's like, yep, I know I like it up here. I just don't always like it forever.
She doesn't really do it anymore because she's old now. But yeah. It's just every time she would do it, I was like, God damn it.
God damn it, Mandy. Now I have to scrape your ass off the fucking
Pretty earth. Much. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, at least, Steven's very excited about the new cat.
Yes. As he should be.
I mean, he's kind of like a little bit too much. Like, to the point where it's like, so we were laying down, like, watching an anime, like, last weekend, just having, like, a chill day of it, which is great.
Yeah.
And she likes to curl up, and she's, like, a type of cat that will sleep on you. Mm-hmm. Like, she doesn't give a fuck. She will literally jump on your head.
She cuddle girl.
She's a real cuddly cat. And so she lays, his arm is just, like, chilling by his side. He's got one arm around me. We're watching the show. And then she comes right up and, like, cuddles in the crook of his arm. And he's like, babe, oh, my God. I was like, oh, my gosh, that's so cute. And I kept looking over at it because I was like, this is so cute. And, like, I was kind of glad that, like, she was his problem for a little while because I was sick of her. So then he looks at me and he was like, are you jealous? And I was like, no, Steven, I'm not jealous. I appreciate that, you know, you guys are having some father-daughter time. Like, this is great. And then she starts licking him. And so I hear, like, a little, and he's like, and he gets, like, all, like, over dramatic. He's like, Raisin, stop licking me. Your tongue is so scratchy. And he, like, looks at me and he goes, I know you're jealous. And I was like,
sure.
Honestly, I am not, but okay. Like, if you want, I feel never like you will want me to be. Right. It's like I'm happy you're having these experiences. Yeah. Like, I don't care that I'll have these experiences all the time. I'm glad that you're joining in. And he was like, he like looked at me and he goes, oh my God, she's still doing it. She likes me. And I was like, great. Like,
yes, this is good perfect. Job. She does.
I was just like astounded. I looked at him in a different light. I was like, damn, like.
He just really needs that.
He really needed
ego
it.
Boost.
He really needed to feel special to a cat. And I was
I mean, I understand that feeling, but like, I'm
like
not
feeling chosen.
Yeah.
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 Like, he needed it, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, she licks me all day long, somewhat too much. Like, she won't stop fucking licking me. Like, she will fight my hand and hold it down so that she can lick it.
Said, no, I like you.
Like, I'm like a tiny child cat that she has that she's like fighting to like bathe. And I'm like, your tongue hurts a little bit after a while, and I don't appreciate it.
Did you ever see that video that I took of Sylvia licking my ear?
No.
For like a solid minute?
No. Oh my God. You told me that she licks your eyebrows.
Yeah, she doesn't do that as often. Last night she actually licked my leg. For just because, and I was just like that's tickle.
It's so funny when they do a little drive-by lick. Nutella does that sometimes too. Like, she'll smell something on me, and then she'll get the cat like smell too much face, like the like the little like open mouth, and then she'll just lick it. And I'm like, if you didn't like it, why did you lick it?
No. It's not that she didn't like it. It's that she really wanted to get that smell in there.
She's like huffing paint.
Yeah, she's like. Oh, that smells good.
Nutella doesn't really lick that much. Like, every once in a while, if she's laying on you and she's licking herself, she'll accidentally lick you.
Right, yeah.
You know how cats do.
Mm-hmm.
But she won't go out of her way to, like...
That's what most of the cats that I've had usually do.
Anyway, that's my cat. Cat date.
We love her. She's precious.
She's a precious little tiny raisin bean.
She's so cute.
Yeah. A little terrorist, though. Seriously. Like, she keeps me up all fucking night. I don't think I've slept a solid night in my own apartment since I've had her.
Well, maybe she'll mellow out in a couple months.
I certainly fucking hope so, because this is going to be a real treat staying in a 300 square foot apartment with that little asshole.
Honestly, that's kind of how Sylvia was at first. Like, when my ex brought her home, she was just, like, constantly, like, needing attention, and then a couple months in, then she was fine.
Yeah, and I fully expect that, like, she's just adjusting to her environment. She's also, like, a cat that has been around other cats for a long time, so her cat behavior was probably not structured in any way.
Right.
You know? So, now she's got an iron fist laying down the fucking law.
Yeah.
This cat's not getting away with this shit for very long. Telling you, I've got a lot of meetings to do, Jocelyn.
I know you do. You can't have a cat fucking around while you're in a meeting.
Right? She already did that. Like, well, actually, and Nutella fucking did it. I'm at my wits.
Those girls.
Yeah, and also, update, I started a new job.
Yay!
Woo, woo, woo. First big girl job. Mama Nisa making some shmoney over here.
It'll make some money.
Putting away these checks. But, yeah, so it's a, like a highfalutin, like, important job.
Yeah.
More important than I've ever had before. I want to make a good impression.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, one of my meetings with my manager, where she's getting to know me, we're getting to know each other, and, like, she's training me and stuff, where I'm, like, have to be laser focused in the meeting and just, like, making eye contact.
Right, yeah.
You know, Zoom meeting potential right
there. Yeah.
Nutella just comes in the back of the camera, just starts chewing it. Just comes up right behind the laptop, and she doesn't chew shit normally.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, found a tasty snack.
A tasty snack to chew.
And, like, my manager, to her credit, she has issues with her kids, too, so it's, like, not like,
right.
You know, she never interrupts a meeting, but she was like, help, I'm being eaten. I was like, I'm so sorry. She's like, your cat's loud. I was like, he's not normally like this. Like, I don't know why she started chewing the laptop. She's like, you gotta return these in pristine condition. I was like, oh, didn't think about that. She's like, no, I'm kidding. It's fine. I was like, oh, got him. God. Yeah, right behind the laptop, just...
No.
Just mawing it. It was a great time.
So fun.
We love. And then Raisin just zips... I put the, like, virtual backgrounds up so nobody can see my shitty room.
Right.
But, like, Raisin just zipped in front of me before I could catch her. So she went, like, right in front of the virtual background. So you could see, like, her tail, and you could see, like, part of her body. And then her head was just gone.
Amazing. Disembodied cat ghost.
Yeah, she was a virtual cat. She was just kind of in there.
Oh, man.
Everyone's like, what was that? I was like, nothing. It's a ghost.
My place is haunted. Sorry, guys.
It's a very old building.
Oh. Sometimes the walls ooze.
It's got personality.
It's downtown.
I had to put my headphones in, too, like, after a while, after I realized how big of a problem my cats were going to be, because they started fucking fighting.
Mm-hmm.
I was, like, not doing this. So, put my headphones in, and, like, now my cats just... I can't hear them sneaking up, you know?
Sneak attack.
I can't hear them.
Surprise, bitch!
You know. What's new in your life, Jocelyn?
Went to Universal over the weekend with my friend since third grade, Adam. I don't remember if he was here at the party that you were at, but he's big, goofy white boy with curly hair.
We've talked about him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't fully remember him, but maybe.
I could show you. Here we are at Universal in front of some masks.
Yeah, I know. I've seen pictures of him.
Yeah.
Like, okay. If I saw him, I'd probably be like, you.
Yes.
But, like, I don't know if I ever met him.
You might not have. I don't know. Anyway.
Can't remember.
We went to Universal over the weekend. It was fun.
Good times.
Yeah, good times. We went on Super Bowl Sunday. So, like, when we got there around noon. Because it's usually more busy in the morning. But, it wasn't too bad, and then, like, the last couple hours that we were there, there was, like, no lines hardly at all, so we just, like, zip, zap, zoop.
That's great. Probably going on, like, a day, like, the Super Bowl, where people are, like, purposely staying home because they have events.
Yeah.
That's a good plan. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
If there was any time to go to Universal, I'll know for next year.
Yeah.
Next year, for sure.
Well, and especially because the Super Bowl was in Tampa.
That's true. Fuck, it's not going to be like that again. We won, though.
I know. I was shocked.
The only way I knew, I was watching anime at the time that the Super Bowl happened. And I forgot about it for, like, a little ways. And then I heard fireworks going off. And I was like...
That's what Nick said. He's like, oh, that's how I know they won, because there were fireworks going off.
There was fireworks. And then there was a random dude in the middle of the street shouting, yeah! Yeah, raise the flag! Oh, and he said something about cannons, and then fire the cannons, and then he goes with a little teeny air horn, doot 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 doot. It was the funniest fucking thing. I was in my, that's what I took a video of, but you couldn't really hear it. It sounded like I was tooting, like, on the video.
I wondered what that was, but I was just like, I'm just gonna leave it.
Somebody, like, messaged me on Instagram, and they were like, was that you farting? And I was like, yes. It was. That was me farting.
Nisa never farts on record.
I try not to.
Only off air.
I mean,
words are silent but deadly.
I'm one of those, Jocelyn.
SBD, baby.
Let's care what you wish for. Nobody will ever catch me farting, but they certainly will catch a whiff.
Oh my god. In like the fifth grade or the fourth grade, I forget which, my brother used to always blame his stank ass farts on this kid named Brandon. I feel like I've told you this before, but there was this kid named Brandon that sat in the row next to him. And my brother had some bad farts.
I don't know if you've ever told me. Maybe you did tell me this.
But so they'd be like taking a test or something and Aaron would rip one.
Oh my god.
But
like, how do you know this?
Because Aaron told me about it.
What is wrong with your brother?
So then when people started smelling it, they'd go, oh, God. And Aaron would go, oh, Brandon, stop farting.
Oh, my fucking God.
I felt so bad for that kid, but also I thought it was really funny.
Did I tell you the story ever about this kid that I went to fucking middle school with for like a few years? His name was Nigel Villers. He sat behind me. We were like a class of 10 people because it was like a fucking Catholic middle school. We didn't have anybody who went there because nobody in the right mind would pay fucking money for a kid's middle school. My parents. So I guess I farted really. I don't remember this. I met him years later and he told me this. I guess I farted really loud one day and then I turned around in my seat and I went, was that you? To Nigel. I don't remember this. I don't know. I don't have any shame. And so then I met him when I was.
Oh my god.
I fucking graduated from college, right? I moved back to Rhode Island. I spent the whole summer, like, away in a kids' camp. Came back and I reconnected with some people that I knew. One of them. Oh, was this kid who didn't go to my school but knew people who went to my school and took me to a bonfire. He's like, you'll know some people. Oh, some Prout people are going to be there. I was like, great. I showed up and Nigel DeVillers was there. Oh, I was dressed in a fucking Duncan uniform, FYI. Came from Duncan. And I had...
straight from work.
I literally came straight from work, but I brought munchkins for everybody because I was like, I don't know these people. Like, let me bring some munchkins to ease it over. Yeah. Plus, I was not a popular kid in high school. Like, nobody fucking liked me. So I was like, if I'm seeing anybody from high school, lo and fucking behold, small fucking world, Nigel DeVillers was there. And so we're hanging out. We're having a good time. They pass me a drink. I'm having a drink. Like, no big deal. He sits there and he looks across at me and he goes, hey, what's up, Nisa? And I was like, Nigel Villar, what's up, dude? I was like, it's been a minute and a half. I never thought I'd see you again. He's like, yeah. Remember this one time? He's like, I've been waiting to confront you about this.
Oh my god.
I was like, what happened? What did I do? And so in front of fucking like 20 people who were at this bonfire, some of which were people who like already probably didn't like me from high school, Nigel Villar was like, tells a story about how I turned around. I was like, was that you? And I literally, like, laugh my ass off. And he's sitting there so mad. And I laugh my ass off and I was like, yeah, it sounds like something I would do. Like, and he's like, you don't remember. Oh, and then I was like, isn't it funny, guys, how, like, sometimes that somebody can hold on to something for years about you and you have no memories of it whatsoever.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I remember. I remember that. I was like, I'm sure you do, dude. Like, I remember a lot of things about a lot of people, but at this present moment, that girl that farted in front of you, she could be a totally different person, and I'd have been like, that's disgusting, and moved on with my fucking day. Like, he was just trying to openly shame me about my 11, 12-year-old self, and I was like, I don't give a fuck.
Oh my god.
Anyway, he left after that, so it's not like I ever saw that man again.
Oh, wow. He was really upset that you weren't sorry.
I don't know if he was like, I think he might have been pretending, but I have no idea his personality.
No, if he was holding on to that for that long, he was definitely upset that you weren't sorry.
Nigel, I just want to formally apologize to you now. I remember you telling me about it. I don't have any recollection whatsoever. I can presume it was in Italian class or maybe Latin class, because it was the two classes I actually remember, and I think I did sit in front of you at one point in Italian class. Anyways, this is me submitting my formal apology for the floor.
If any of you know Nigel, please let him know.
Nisa, same as Nigel DeVillers.
Nisa is actually sorry for farting in front of him.
I honestly feel like I'm apologizing on behalf of another person since I don't have any memories. I'm, like, apologizing for the state of the world, basically.
Oh,
like,
oh,
I'm sorry that Nigel DeVillers was born to grow up to meet me at an age where I was just a mess. So, I want you to know, Nigel, if it helps put any context, like, my household was not the greatest. And, you know, I got fed a lot of, like, carbs and starch growing up. And that just, you know, sometimes
I
didn't
say beans.
Might have been beans. Who knows? My mom was a big meat and potatoes kind of woman. Like, yeah, that was what she cooked, so... Yeah. She always made sure I ate my greens, though, which might have been why I was so fibrous.
That would do it.
So, Nigel, sorry.
I'll accept your apology on his behalf.
Thank you, Jocelyn.
You're welcome.
You've absolved me of my sins from when I was 11, 12 years old.
Oh, God.
Appreciate you.
Let's not talk about that anymore. That was a bad time in everyone's life, I feel like.
Yeah, I honestly don't even remember what I look like. Like, you know, like, getting up in the morning and, like, you go to the mirror and you, like, fix yourself?
Yeah.
I don't remember that person. Oh, yeah. I remember doing that.
I wish I didn't remember that person. She didn't know how to wear eyeliner.
I don't think I wore makeup. I didn't think I had any makeup.
I, really wanted to be, like, emo, like, scenester kind of kid. And I did not have the materials to do that readily available. So I would put my eyeliner, like, under my bottom eyelashes.
Under it? Yeah. Not, like, on the shelf?
Not on the waterline.
Oh, interesting.
It was not a good look.
So it was, like, a little white spot, and then your eyeliner.
It was just, like... Oh, God, I don't even want to try to find a picture.
We'll post it on the gram.
God.
We'll post, guys.
But it was like...
We'll put pictures of both me and Jocelyn at that age. Little trip down memory lane for you.
Yeah.
Winky, but, winky.
So, like, I would do it literally under here.
Where the, like, sweat is?
Yeah. And, like, I got baggy-ass eyes and greasy-ass skin, so you know my eyeliner would get all over my goddamn face. I didn't do raccoon eyes... Because that, I would also sweat that off. Because I can't use waterproof makeup.
Why?
Because I got sensitive ass eyes.
Oh, so you'd, like, it would burn and irritate you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I really, like, I feel like we need to share with these people, like, exactly what we were back then. I'll try to find one in my school uniform. That'll be even better.
It's so bad.
Fetishize me.
Don't. Don't do that. That's gross. Let's not do that.
Honestly, my high school uniform was pretty hot.
Yeah.
It's like the stereotypical uniform you see, like, when you go to, like, you know, Hot Topic and shit.
Mm, yeah.
Like, everywhere you go, that's, like, schoolgirl lingerie. Mm-hmm. That's literally what I wore to school every fucking day.
Mm, okay.
Like.
Hottie with a body.
I know. They were not, like... smart about the way that they, like, designed the school uniform. And they didn't, like, for a while, they didn't let us wear pants. And I was like, if you don't want people to fetishize women, yeah, like, let them wear fucking pants.
Let me wear pants.
And they were like, it's a big deal for us to offer pants, but we do have the boys, like, pants a version available. And I was like, fuck no. Like, who wants to wear boys' pants?
I used to.
They don't fit right.
I used to when I was 12 and cringe.
I mean, it's just awkward because, like, they don't fit your hips correctly.
Right, yeah, and then they have, like, extra room in the front.
Yeah.
Where you don't need it because you don't have male genitals.
Yeah. We don't know anything about anything.
I don't. I like to think that I do, but then it turns out I usually have no idea what the fuck I'm talking about. Anyway.
Same. I come off real confident, though. I think confidence is key. You want to? I have
That's
shut down.
That's why I can't get a job somewhere else. I'm not confident enough in myself.
It's not even being confident in yourself. Fake it till you fucking make it. I've always done where, like, you picture somebody who would talk really well, and you just, like, you pretend to be that character.
I should pretend to be Anne Hathaway.
Exactly. Be fucking Anne Hathaway.
Oh, I love Anne Hathaway so much. Have we talked about how much we love Anne Hathaway?
I mean, I probably don't love her as much as you love her.
I just love her in general.
She's a wonderful person.
She is.
She's literally a sweetheart.
Oh, she's beautiful. Did you know she actually goes by Annie?
Yes. She's okay. Not Anne Hathaway.
So we did talk about that, then.
I think you and I may have talked about that. Yeah. I don't know if we've told our listeners. I don't know. Anyway, as a juicy ear bit, Anne Hathaway goes by Annie, for those who know her.
Yeah.
Know her intimately, you know. Those in her life.
Yeah. You know.
Which we would like to be. We would like to be those. Hello, Anne Hathaway. Please be our friend.
Annie, please.
Annie. Annie, be our friend.
Annie, are you okay? Are you okay, Annie?
I think she's definitely not going to be our friend now. I can't imagine how many times she's gotten that joke in her life. And we just used her worst nightmare against her. We are the worst. Annie, don't. I know you're okay. Just stop listening now. And we'll never bother you again. I'm so sorry.
This is why I will never have a functional relationship. Because I like to pick up the things that people hate and then poke them with a skewer.
Is that really how you are? Because I have not noticed. Maybe I'm immune. Am I immune to this?
No.
Oh, I'm not. It's going to come for me.
You're not immune.
It's coming for me!
No, like you just do the same thing back at me half the time.
Oh, I'm very sarcastic.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Got that Sagittarius bite.
I don't really think it has anything to do with my sun sign. I love horoscopes because they're complete bullshit.
Yes, they
but
are.
Like I love the memes because you can always find something a little bit relatable, and you're like, it's me.
Yeah,
like you know.
No, I just like to laugh at the horoscope memes.
Yeah, all of them are all over the place. Always, like I could. One time, I just picked I picked one sun sign. I think it was a Cancer, and I was like, I'm going to be a Cancer and see, like, you know.
Relatable memes.
Right, and I'll...
For Cancer teens.
It was literally, like, all about stuff that could relate to me in some way or another. The one thing that they always pick out for Cancer was the huge crybabies and really sensitive, and I was like, nah, I'm not a sensey bitch, sorry.
Oh, my dad's a Cancer. He's definitely very sensitive.
Yeah, my dad's a Cancer, and he's a massive asshole and not sensitive at all. I mean, he's probably sensitive, but he just covers up his feelings with bullshit.
Yeah, straight rage.
Straight rage. Like, just goes straight to rage.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's because he never fully dealt with, like, his PTSD from growing up in an abusive household with a person who was just like him.
Yeah.
So he was doomed to repeat his father's failures.
Yeah.
Which is okay, because I'm hashtag break the pattern.
Hashtag get the fuck out of there.
Hashtag get therapy and get yourself straight.
Yes. I love therapy.
I love being self-aware.
Yeah.
Like, I went to my parents and I was like, guys, we're going to talk about a little thing called self-awareness. Oh. And they were like, where the fuck did you get that from? And I was like, no, that's the point. You don't get it from anywhere.
That's right.
You look in your brain and you go, I could improve.
Yes.
Imagine that. And they're like, where the fuck did you get that from? And I'm like, you're so... It's very narrow right now. Yes. We gotta go a little bit.
Open those gates up a little bit.
My mom was like, no. Tell me, like, which source? I want to read it. And I was like...
Oh, mama.
I'm like, mom, it's just going straight. Yeah, both of you just straight over the head. Mm-hmm. It's okay. A little bit of self-reflection just went flat on them. Could have wrapped those people in cellophane filled with therapy and they still would have been like, I guess this is air now.
Mayonnaise?
Is mayonnaise an instrument?
Yes.
All right. Now you got me doing fucking SpongeBob. I think we should do our stories now.
We should, yeah.
I got probably a little bit of a long one.
Yeah, that's okay.
So.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah. Just so we can gauge how much time we have in the back end.
Okay. Well, I mean, I can always cut some of what we've talked about on the front end, too.
No, it's beautiful. Leave it.
Oy! Okay.
Nigel.
Nigel Planter. That's all I can think of when you say Nigel. That's a Billy and Mandy reference.
I don't. Nope. Doesn't land.
Forgot you weren't really a Cartoon Network kid the way I was.
Sorry about it.
That's fine.
Kids Next Door, though.
Kids Next Door! Kids Next Door! I used to have the biggest crush on number four. The Australian kid.
The blonde one?
Yeah.
Like, the bangs that covered his eyes. Yeah. And he finally lifted up his bangs at one point, and it was, like, such an episode.
Yeah.
I remember that. I loved, I think it was number three, the, like, cutesy Asian girl.
Yeah, she's so cute. I love her, too. But, like, I had a crush on...
Number five!
Yeah, number five. Cree Summer. What up? Okay, so I wanted to talk about Hannah Wilk.
Ooh.
A feminist artist.
No. I'm just kidding. I love women.
We love women so much.
I love women.
I love them. Oh my god.
Step on my face. Do it.
Oh my. No.
Hannah. No.
I don't think she would. I think she actually liked men.
Then we must kill her.
No.
So you're saying that this is a story about how we hunt her down?
Is it? Well, she's already dead.
Was it from us? Did we do that?
If we gave her cancer, yes.
I'd take it. I'm just kidding, Hannah. You're fine.
So Hannah Wilk, born Arlene Hannah Butter.
I enjoy that.
Just that's such
she's
a good
very
last
spreadable.
Name.
It seems like. I'm just
sick
kidding.
Burn.
Kidding. I'm kidding.
She was born March 7th, 1940 in New York City, and she lived until January 28th, 1993. Died at the age of 52 in Houston, Texas.
Wow.
Yeah. Did not live to be old like some of the other people we've talked about on the pod. Because she got cancer and died.
That sucks.
It do be sucking.
Sorry.
She was an American painter, sculptor, photographer, video artist, and performing artist.
She was all the things.
She was.
That woman just knew how to work.
Work.
That's and you gotta do the work. Work. Okay, yes. This is not a singing podcast. We talked about this.
So, generally, her work is known for exploring issues of feminism, sexuality, and femininity, as we kind of already figured
and you
out.
Sure she wasn't gay? This isn't the Georgia O'Keeffe situation.
I mean, she had several husbands.
Yeah, which is code for lesbian.
I think she was a little bit, like, narcissistic, kind of. Like you.
Damn it. God fucking damn it. I mean, but if she loved herself that much, then she's a little gay, at least.
Probably. We'll call it a possible gay.
Okay. I'll mark her under maybe, my maybe section of the gays.
The maybe gays.
I'd take a bet on her.
Anyway, Hannah used her own nude body and...
Totally gay. Sorry.
She used that as a way to express personal, political, and linguistic themes. Mm-hmm. Which is just a fancy way of saying she took pictures of herself naked.
This
and took videos
sounds...
of herself naked.
Alright. So what you're saying is she's gay for herself.
Probably.
What do they call that? Pan? Where you just don't find anybody attractive.
Oh, no. That's ace.
Ace.
Yeah, asexual. Or aromantic or something. Anyway.
Whatever.
Apparently her art has often been oversimplified by critics, but continues to influence complex art of postmodern artists today. When she was 14, she posed for photographs wearing her mother's fur stole in front of a wall, featuring her name in large typography, which apparently was a precursor to the self-portraiture she would later create in life.
That she took a picture of herself in a fur coat?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, because everyone goes out, takes their mom's fur coat, and poses in front of a wall with their name on it.
I definitely do. I don't think my mom owns anything that expensive.
No, my mom does not. My mom likes to go shopping at fucking thrift shops.
Yeah, my mom just, like, she goes to Kohl's. She loves her Kohl's cash.
Oh, yeah. My mom was on a Kohl's kick at one point. And
it's a place for moms.
She got me some cute stuff there, actually.
At Kohl's?
Yeah.
I'm sounding shocked because I've been in that place and I fucking hate it. Like, everything there is just the most generic option available. It's even worse than Ross. It's like...
Oh, dress for less. Love me, Ross. When I was thin, so many of my clothes were from Ross.
That's painful. And I'm sorry for you. Like, if you want cheap but good, go to TJ Maxx.
I also like TJ Maxx. They're owned by the same company.
Yeah, but TJ Maxx actually, like, has a lot of style.
I guess. I got the purse that I use sometimes, like, when we go out and I take my black purse.
Mm-hmm.
That's from Ross.
Okay. One good thing. Does not an entire merchandising story make. Anyway, continue. Hannah Wilk.
Hannah Wilk studied art at Stella Elkins Tyler School of Fine Art at Temple University in Philly. Shout out to Temple. Which is where she met designer Barry Wilk, who she married in 1960. So that's where Wilk comes from. I guess she just kept that name.
Good old Barry.
Because she dropped Arlene, went to Hannah, grabbed the Wilk.
Wow. I feel like her last name was pretty solid. It is named after food. I enjoy food names.
Yeah.
Butter. You know, butter. I like it. Maybe I'll take it.
It's a really good film, too. Also.
She didn't want it. I can have it, right?
Nisa Butter.
Nisa Butter. Mm. Does that sound cute?
Miss Butter.
Yeah. Well, Mrs. Butter. I'll marry myself. Well,
yeah.
It just sounds more important.
Mrs. Butter. She completed a Bachelor of Fine Arts and a teaching certificate 2 years later, so in 1962. And then their marriage actually broke down and ended with a divorce in 1965, which sucks dick. So then Wilk went back to New York. She taught high school. Then in 1974, she started teaching sculpture at the School of Visual Arts, where she founded the ceramics department.
Wow.
Which, like, good for her. I liked ceramics a lot when I was in school.
Yeah, I actually took a couple certifications to be, like, a potter.
Oh.
It's expensive. Yes. That's the reason why it's, like, not lucrative until you become, like, some kind of name.
Right.
Yeah. But it is a lot of fucking fun.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I only got to use the wheel a couple times, but I liked it.
Yeah. I mean, It's always, like, relaxing, I feel like, and just chill. But the very big problem remains of being successful in it.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
There's sure. No money in pottery.
No.
Because everyone can do it. And since everyone can do it, everyone...
Or, like, you can just go buy a thing from a store if you're, like, a cheap person like me.
Yeah, you could do that. Yeah. You could fuck all of the local artists... I don't buy ceramics from, like, people I know. That's not a thing. That's what I'm talking about, though. Yeah, there's no money in it.
All right, exactly.
Anyway, come full circle.
Anyway, she taught there until 1991, which was a couple years before she died. In the early 60s, her work started to be exhibited widely, so her terracotta sculptures in vaginal forms were first shown... in 1967 at Nikata. I don't know. It's New York City art something or other. And I meant to write it in, but then I got distracted. And I didn't.
Because
It took me a while to figure out what those letters stood for.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, this is not a city. In New York.
It's not a place.
It's not. I can't figure it out. It
might be an institution.
It is. These works apparently were one of the first times that explicit vaginal imagery was used as part of the feminist movement. And it was at this point that Wilk started to become a well-known artist.
Yay.
Yay.
Clap, clap, clap.
Clap, clap, clap. Yes. She also was represented by the Ronald Feldman Fine Arts thing, and later taught at the School of Visual Arts for almost two decades. In her work, Hannah often features herself posing as a glamour model, so her use of self in photography and performance art has been interpreted as a celebration and validation of self, women, the feminine, and feminism.
Oh. Mm. It's a bummer she wasn't a lesbian, because that would have fit right in.
Yeah, I know.
I want her to be. Hannah, you missed a fucking window. You could have done it too, you know. You obviously clearly liked yourself. Your body looked snatched. I
mean, she did have a tight little bod.
You could have done.
She could have done. She could have had it all.
Oh, shit. All right. Oh, fuck. Okay. Sorry, I wasn't ready for that one.
Sorry. I don't know what came over me.
What kind of note was that?
Just a little Adele.
No, yeah. I know what it was. Was that like a D flat? Like,
I don't know.
G sharp?
Like, I don't know. I never learned to read music, actually.
I never did either.
I don't know anything about music theory. I just know that I can match noises with my face.
Yeah. Matching. Matching the noises. Anyways.
Art critic Anne Sargent Wooster said that Wilkes' identification with the feminist movement was confusing because of her body. Her self-portraitures looked more like a Playboy centerfold than the typical feminist nudes.
Well, that's because she can do whatever the fuck she wants.
Right, exactly.
That statement is basically like, oh, well, it's only feminist if you're trying to elevate women. And it's like, we elevate women any fucking way that we want.
Exactly.
It's like, you're, to sit there and say she looks like a Playboy model is misogyny. Like,
yes,
that is exactly. You looking at someone who is just doing whatever the fuck they want,
mm-hmm.
and being like, I'm gonna typize this. Yes. I'm gonna stereotype
it. I'm sexualizing this right now.
Yeah, it's like, it's because women are seen inherently as sexual
exactly.
objects.
Yeah.
When a woman poses nude, it's immediately sexualized.
Yes.
And it's like, no, I just own a body. Everybody
right.
has one.
Yes.
Like, just because mine happens to look A1, like that A1 credit, like that A1 sauce.
Yes.
Like, that's your problem for
right.
being turned on.
Yes.
You know, it's not anybody else's problem.
Yes. So, yeah, I mean, it's basically...
That belongs in that subreddit, Leopards Ate My Face.
Oh,
ran face first into the point and still missed it.
Yes. Like... So, yeah, I mean, which is kind of like the opposite of what she was trying to do, basically. She took photographs of herself as a goddess, like a living incarnation of great works of art, or as a pinup. And I wrote here in my notes, she did the communist thing of seizing the means of production.
What? What about that is communist?
Seize the...
That's capitalist, if anything.
I don't know.
Communist would be like... She
I thought
made
that
her
was,
printer
I thought
be the
that
only
was,
printer.
No,
that,
I thought that was Marxism or something, like seizing the means of production.
Seizing the means of production.
But anyway. Vertical
integration across the board. Jocelyn, what?
I don't know. I was tired when I was writing this.
Okay.
Seize the means of production of the female image from male hands and put them in her own.
That's the full sentence?
Yes.
She did the communist thing of
yes.
seizing the image of female...
Seizing the means of production of the female image from male hands and put them in her own. That's the sentence.
That's the full sentence. I think that's our new tagline. It's the communist thing. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Shh. Anyways.
Oh, so anyway, in the early 90s, when... She started documenting the decay of her body ravaged by lymphoma. Then people finally started taking her seriously because they're like, oh, she's not hot anymore.
That is the thing.
Uh-huh.
It's like, and you can put up any woman's body and like be like,
yeah.
okay, don't feel anything about this. Like, this is a body.
Right. Yeah.
You know? And now that it's like not inherently perfect or sexy looking or young or youthful, then people are like, well, fuck, I don't like that. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, it's why are you showing me this? Ooh. It's like, yeah, well, yeah. You were never supposed to enjoy it. You were supposed to feel apathy about it.
Right, exactly.
I hate people.
Same. So anyway, that self-portraiture was like an entire series of like photographs called Intravenous. Because it's a play on words.
Yep. I got it.
Yep.
It's very clever.
Yep, yep.
I liked it.
Yep.
I hate needles, but I like that.
Yeah, same. Here's a quote from Hannah. She said that people give her bullshit of, what would you have done if you weren't so gorgeous? What difference does that make? Gorgeous people die as the stereotypical ugly. Everybody dies. As do the stereotypical ugly. Anyway.
So gorgeous people die as the stereotypically ugly.
Yeah, everybody dies.
That's exactly her point, and I see what she was trying to do, because she's like, yeah, I was put in this form, I have no shame about it, and like, oh, look, it's decaying from the inside out. Isn't this, like, cool? Because every single fucking person on Earth is going to deal with this. Yeah. Mine's just happening while I'm alive.
Right.
Yeah. Like, and, you know, just, I don't know, human bodies are fucked up. And it is, like, the great tragedy of being human that, like, we're not long for this world.
Yeah. Yeah.
None of us are.
Yeah. Anyway.
Thank you, Hannah.
Thank you, Hannah. I still have a couple more notes here.
Do it.
By the early 1970s, she began to focus on photography, video, and performance art, which notably includes the series SOS, Starification Object Series, which she did over the course of a year. And it was a collection of performalist self-portraits where she parodied and... That was your neck?
That was my neck. Yeah, I didn't mean to do that as loud as
it. She crunchy.
Ah, that felt really good, though. Anyway, sorry.
Glad you got that kink out.
Kink's still in me, Jocelyn. Hey, joke's on you.
Yeah, same.
You never get it out of me.
So this is a series designed to kind of parody and dismantle the stereotypical representations of femininity. By disrupting the pleasure of the gaze by covering her semi-nude body with vaginal-shaped chewing gum, which appear as scars on her flesh. So, like, yeah, she took gum, chewed it up, kind of, like, folded it so it looked like a vagina, and then, like, stuck it on her skin.
I'm gonna look up Hannah Wilk covered in gum.
Yes, please do. So this scarification links beauty with vulnerability and death via such references as numbered tattoos on Holocaust victims and African, I forgot to look up how to pronounce this word, cicatrization? But, she was Jewish, actually. I forgot to put that at the beginning of my notes.
Ah.
So the Holocaust tie-in is kind of like a very personal thing for her. Because, obviously, if she's Jewish, then that's more important than if you're not Jewish, which it should still be important.
I just think that she has a deeper understanding of, like, a certain subset of minority, like, prejudice and, obviously, misogyny in the scope of being a minority.
Exactly.
What?
I said exactly.
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 Nudity assumed a different role in Wilk's Venus Parave, which was a group of small self-portrait figures that were originally cast in chocolate, which she created over the course of 2 years, which is 1982 to 1984. She related the consumption of food with that of women. So she was exploring ideas concerning beauty and Jewish identity. The Hebrew dietary term paraveh, which is neither meat nor dairy, is used to convey the concept of the universal. So she offered her classically nude body as a universal goddess of love while examining the myths of the ideal woman. This girl was deep. Did you find that picture yet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one?
Yeah. There's a number of them. But
yeah, there's like a bunch.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find, like,
Yeah, I mean, it's all pretty much the same thing. Yeah. Like, she just folded little strips of gum, and it kind of looks like vaginas. I wouldn't really say it looks exactly like a vagina.
No, yeah. I wouldn't either, but that was the intent.
Is it to look like a... I see where she was going with it.
In 1987, Wilk was diagnosed with lymphoma. She had been painting abstract watercolors of her face that were later exhibited as BC, meaning before consciousness, of her cancer. In 1991, she began to document the effects of her illness and treatment. With the help of her husband, writer and editor Donald Goddard, she produced Intravenous, a painfully profound series using photographs and mixed media to reveal the gradual deterioration of her once familiar body. Goddard explained that the works were originally to be part of her Cured show, but that title could not be used because she died.
I mean, if you look at some of these photos, I'm looking through them now.
Yeah.
She looks fucked up. Like, she looks like she is going through it. Yeah. And I'm sure, like, this is the 90s, early 90s.
Yeah.
They didn't have the same level of technology and care that we do now. Like, I mean, I was just looking at this actually the other day because of... certain recent events.
Yeah.
But chemo is like a very fucked up like art.
Oh yeah.
Like where the people who are like prescribing chemo, it has like they have to run all these tests to know exactly how much chemo to give you, and they still don't really know. Like I can't even imagine how bad it was back then, but in today's day and age, like 2021, there's still it's a big guessing game over how much chemo they're supposed to give you.
Yeah, no, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you have this type of cancer? Well, we'll try and dial it back based on your age and, like, your weight and see how it works. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't work, well, whoops. Like, but they're just poisoning you.
Yeah. No, that's exactly, that's the thing.
It's very scary.
I agree.
Wouldn't wish cancer on literally anybody.
Yeah.
Not even Hitler.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry, Hitler.
Wow.
Take a bullet to the head again, because I'm not giving you cancer.
Yeah, because there's a chance he could survive.
Right. I mean, like, shoot yourself again. Like, I won't give you cancer instead.
Yeah, yeah.
So but anyway. She seems very, very cool. And I feel bad that, you know, I don't know. And this is the way I think about, like, all sorts of women who go through this performance exposure stuff.
Yeah.
Where it always becomes sexual.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Becomes about their bodies, becomes about who they are, like, you know, and it's less the impact of their work is never taken seriously for what it's supposed to be.
Right, yeah.
But as a woman, like, I think we as women can understand that, like, it's very weird living in a body that people are always praying after.
Yes. Absolutely.
And always telling you how it should look, you know? Yeah, it's just very strange. I was looking at actually old photographs today and I was like, wow, I used to like be like, I used to look so young, but the reason why I look so young is because I was not conforming to like wearing eye makeup, wearing cover up, wearing like, the most I ever did was I wore super bright, dark lipstick. Like,
Love that.
Like, I just loved super red lips, and that was the only thing I took out of it. Like, I just looked at all this other shit, and I was like, oh, that's like makeup shit? Not for me. Super dark lips? Give me that. Like,
I still do that sometimes. Like, I'll just fucking put on lipstick and call it a day.
Yeah, which, I mean, that was the only part I liked. Like, you know,
that's the fun part.
That's the fun part. So I didn't want to do any of the like fiddling around trying to figure out what eyeshadow. I literally just drew eyeliner on the very top lid and did my mascara and then put on lipstick and boom, done.
That sounds like the ideal look.
Well, I looked super youthful because, like, you know, when you're not contouring, you're not doing all this other stuff, it doesn't look complete.
Right.
So, well, in the eyes of, like, I guess, stereotypical, like,
in the eyes way you're supposed to in look. The eyes of you currently,
and but me looking back on it, I was like, wow, I look super young. And it's like, it's because we look at youth as if they don't know what they're supposed to be doing,
right? Like naivety.
Yeah But I knew full well, like, what I was supposed to be doing. I literally just didn't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I started to become more professional, I feel like, where I was like, I gotta fit in to get more shmoney, that, like, that idea started to change in my head. But it was literally because, oh, I can elevate my current status in life if I look more professional.
Yeah.
So that's when I started to get into makeup. And I did start to have more fun with it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, like, I know how to do makeup now, but I still look back and I was like, I just think it's funny. Like, that my immediate thought was like, oh, wow, I look so young.
She baby.
I was like, I'm a baby. It's like, I wasn't really a baby. Like, I just didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
I like Hannah.
Yeah, I like her too.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we had this time to chat about her.
Woo, Hannah. Woo.
All right. So who's your artist?
My dude is Frank Lloyd Wright.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Which, obviously, very popular name. A guy that everybody knows.
Everybody be known about Frank Lloyd Wright.
He was a super popular architect. But I actually found out about him because he has some pretty gnarly stuff happen in his life. I won't spoil it, but he's got some pretty shitty shit going on. Anyway, born June 8th, 1867 in Richland Center, Wisconsin, to mother Ann Lloyd Jones, who was a teacher, and father William Carey Wright, who was a preacher and a musician. Wright and his family moved around a bunch of times from when he was a little kid and he actually spent some time in Rhode Island. Before they finally settled back down in Madison, Wisconsin. So, and he also spent summers with his mother's family, which lived in Spring Green, Wisconsin, and that's where Frank had most of his, like, favorite childhood memories and stuff.
Interesting.
So, yeah, later on he settles there, which is why he settles there. He's like, that's where my fondest memories are.
Mm-hmm.
In 1885, after Frank graduated from high school, his father and his mother divorced, and then the father just dipped the fuck out.
Rude.
Like, never to be heard from again.
That bastard.
So his mother was the only one who raised him. But luckily, she did a pretty good job. So he enrolled in the University of Wisconsin and studied civil engineering. And during his time there, he became close to the Dean of Engineering, who had a contact with renowned architect Joseph Silsbee. And that's who Frank Lloyd Wright aspired to become. So he attached to Silsbee really quickly, and then Silsbee was like, yo, you're better than this. Drop out of school. So he was like, I will do that. And then they moved to Chicago together.
Oh.
So he became his apprentice for just a year.
Wow.
So after a year, he then goes to the architectural firm of Dankmar, Alder, and Lewis Sullivan, where he would build his talents for 4 years.
Dankmar.
Firm of Dankmar. I think it was like a German name that was like Dankmar.
Oh, probably.
You know, something
that's
like
that. That's less
funny. In 1889, Wright married a then 19-year-old Catherine Tobin, and he would eventually have 6 children with her.
Hey, girl.
Over
hey.
Their 20-year marriage.
Wow.
About 20 years. In 1893, Wright opened up his own architectural firm. His first project was a house for W.H. Winslow, which was so well done that it garnered Wright immediate acclaim. So that's his first, like, you're going to be famous.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was like, oh my God, can I get a house like that? And he's like, I only got so much time. But his signature style was that he kind of pared everything down. And he was known for using, like, mass-produced materials, which made everything a lot cheaper. So meaning that, like, people who couldn't come to him with, like, a certain amount of money, he made their dollars stretch a lot further. And he tossed aside the notion of grandiose features in a home for more, like, pared-down, more, like, simplistic approaches. Basically, what we know of today, that was groundbreaking for his fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when we go into a room and it's like, oh my God, it has such a large living space. He was like, I eat that for breakfast! I love it!
Like an open concept.
Like an open... He was literally all about the open concept. He loves it.
It's so good.
He num-num-nums it.
Yeah.
His first thought was for comfort, convenience, and spaciousness. And he wanted to plan for people to have larger families.
Makes sense, since he had a fairly large family.
True. I mean, maybe he just was like, oh, I see where we would need that. I see where we'd need many homes.
Yeah, true.
To look like my home.
Yeah.
Wright built about 50 what he called prairie houses from 1900 to 1910. They all had low roofs, main rooms that flowed together to create more open space, and windows which turned corners to help the structure seem not so box-like. That's when he began to give talks on architecture. He published The Art and Craft of the Machine in 1901, which is like a famous architecture book. He has a few more books that he publishes and becomes like one of the leading authors of like American architecture. Even today, like people still study his stuff in class.
True.
Because it's pretty much like old reliable information.
Mm-hmm.
In 1905, he travels to Japan where he gives talks and he meets many prominent business connections who really attached to his work. His work kind of has like a, like his houses kind of have like a Japanesey feel because of the low roofs.
True.
They look a little like, a little oriental.
Yeah.
So fun tea. In 1909, Wright's marriage to Catherine was over and they were separated mostly because he ran away to Europe and was blatantly having an affair with this woman named Mamie Chaney, who was the wife of one of his former clients. And likely he was having an affair with her from as far back as 1903. He even went so far as to build an estate in Spring Green, Wisconsin, which he called Taliesin. This was supposed to be his masterpiece, and he built it mainly so that he could give it to Mama.
Wow. What a hoe.
Seriously. Like, the dude... And she wouldn't grant him a divorce because she was so pissed off.
Yeah.
So Catherine was like, hey, dude, I gave you 6 fucking kids. You really gonna do this to me? Like, hell no.
Fuck that guy.
Right? Well, we'll get to it. This led to some scandalous stories in the press, which affected Wright's career and lost him some clients. However, it was not enough to knock him out of the game completely. He still kept traveling to Europe and gave talks, and he produced 2 books, which were extremely successful. And in 1913, he spent months in Japan working on the design for the new Tokyo Hotel.
Mm.
And then the following year, he was tapped to work on the Midway Gardens in Chicago, which was going to be a huge complex that included an open-air dining and other restaurants and clubs. And it had a ton of abstract art and sculptures, and it was very, very ornate. So he was, like, working on a couple big projects anyways. So he didn't really have time for, like, you know, commission after commission after commission. Right. So even though the press, like, tore him a new one and, like, ripped him a new asshole and was like, hey, you doing this, like, crazy shit? Like,
yeah,
bro, you a mess.
Bro, you fucked up.
He was still, like, super duper successful.
Yeah.
Well... That was until 1914. In the summer, a servant at Wright's estate snapped and went on a murderous rampage, killing his girlfriend, Mamie Chaney,
oh my God.
Her 2 children, John and Martha, who were visiting, and several workers who were working on parts of his estate. So David Lindblom, Emil Brondell, Thomas Bunker, and Ernest Weston were all killed.
Jeez.
The man who killed them was the cook named Julian Carlton, and he was a Barbados, like, transplant who had come there with his wife to work for Frank Lloyd Wright, who had hired them because they were good, cheap help. And,
wow.
Yeah. They weren't mistreated in any way, shape, or form, as so far as anyone knows. There was, like, rumors that... some of the workers who were there were harassing Julian and, like, calling him, like, racist slurs and stuff, but it's never been substantiated that that was going on. But, of course, in that era, it's 1914. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's probably a lot of hinky shit going on.
Lots of slurs.
So, to commit the act, he locked the draftsmen into the dining room where he served them lunch and kept them trapped. While they're eating lunch, he splashed gasoline under the door. Then, with a hatchet, he went out to the porch, which was the door to the kitchen was, like, there, and then, like, you go out to the porch, and the porch, like, wraps around, and that's where, like, Mamie Chaney was with her 2 kids.
Oh, my God.
So he fucking murders them with a hatchet. Then he goes back to the room and sets the room on fire.
Amazing.
With the men locked inside. Using their brute strength, they smash open the door... and get out, although, you know, several men were attacked by Julian and then killed, and those are the 4 that ended up dying. One of them got badly wounded, but then later on he ends up dying. So Julian flees. He's found in the basement of the estate, barely alive, because he swallowed muriatic acid.
Ew.
To kill himself before anyone could find him, but all it ended up doing was basically, like... burning his throat like crazy so he could not talk anymore. And he couldn't eat anything either. So they couldn't get any confession on him. They didn't find any motive other than, like, he just went crazy and snapped and fucking killed everybody, and they don't really know what it was. His wife said that he was increasingly paranoid leading up to the murders.
Mm-hmm.
So he was, like, sleeping with a hatchet under his bed and stuff. Kept saying he wanted to go back to Chicago. But they never found out exactly what it was that triggered him and why he would murder, you know, the mistress and her two kids.
Yeah.
You know, so it was very, very strange. But he ended up dying from starvation 7 weeks after the incident because he was, you know, so fucked up he couldn't eat anymore.
Yeah.
After the tragedy, Wright was devastated, and to cope, he rebuilt Taliesin. So he was like, oh, I don't know what to do with myself. I guess I'll just rebuild it. Then he ends up going to Japan for 5 years, which in that time he designs the Imperial Hotel, which was commissioned by the emperor himself.
Mm.
So Wright makes this one of his masterworks. We put a lot of time and effort into it. And he even claimed at the time that it was built and finished that it was going to be earthquake proof. A year after its completion, that theory was put to the test. And to his credit, every other large building near the epicenter of the earthquake was fucking destroyed, and his was the only one standing.
Wow.
So, no one could ever say he didn't know what the fuck he was doing.
Yeah.
Just, he didn't know how to, you know, pick girlfriends, and he definitely did not know how to pick servants, but that's okay. In 1923, Wright married Miriam Noel, who was a sculptor who had assisted him in rebuilding Taliesin. In 1925, another fire ravaged Taliesin, caused by an electrical fire, forcing Wright to rebuild again.
Hmm.
So then Noel and Wright's marriage lasted for 4 years, and then she ends up divorcing him in 1927, probably because they live in the fact that they lived in a very haunted, fucked up house that was trying to constantly fucking kill everybody who lived there.
Hmm.
But that's just me. I don't know. But that's okay. Not even 1 year after they were divorced, he marries again. Olga Ivanova Laskovich.
He a hoe for sure.
Yeah, I think that was his last wife, though. Like, he was, like, done after that, so.
Yeah.
You know, three and a dead girlfriend was enough for him.
Yeah.
He was suffering at the time some severe financial setbacks, mainly due to bad debts. It was something that I read that said his house was like, they like, the bank like seized his house. Mm. But I looked into that and I didn't find anything that said that they actually took it away from him.
Right.
They probably just were like, you're not paying your bills?
Yeah.
It's ours. Yeah. Oh, wait. No, just kidding. It's yours. Like,
pay your bills. You can keep your house.
I mean, he was Franklin Wright, so. But then the other thing that happened was the Great Depression, which stalled investments into new developments. And so he had a lot of financial trouble. But still, in 1932, he published 2 books on architecture. And he also founded the Taliesin Fellowship, which was an architecture school that ran out of the studio and his home in Spring Green. It comprised, in its heyday, of 2260 different apprentices. It's a lot of fucking people, I feel
that's,
like.
Yeah, that's a big range, too.
Yeah. Like, at any one time, it was like 20 to 60 people. So 5 years later, he moved the school to Taliesin West, which is a place he built in Arizona. And that would house the Taliesin Fellowship during the winter,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty nice. He's like, you guys get like a winter stay and like a summer stay.
Yeah,
like,
oh my God.
We'll make it like a vacation-y thing. Like, we'll have a winter and a summer, you know?
So cute.
A north and a south. So during the 1930s and into the 1940s, he built Falling Water, which is another master house for the Kaufman family, which includes a huge series of decks built over top of a natural running waterfall.
Hmm.
So today, it's still fine. It's still in perfect shape, and it's considered a national landmark in Philadelphia. He also took on many public commissions for administrative buildings and civic centers. These were kind of boring looking things, so like I didn't really care that much about them, but apparently like everyone was like, la, 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 la. We love it.
Yeah, because he's the master.
I mean, like, they're still here, but like if I looked at the building, I'd go like, I don't know who made that.
Right.
You know?
That's how I feel about most buildings.
Yeah.
I mean, some of his buildings, you can tell it has, like, a very specific style. Yeah. And it was, like, clear that it was, like, using materials that were from a while ago.
Right.
But some of them were like, looks like everything else. He started perfecting his idea of the Usonian house, which today is basically a ranch house. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about how, like, when he got out of school, he was basically, like, building all of these, like, primary residences for, like, the modern family. Like, that was what he was trying to do in his later years as well. Like, he was building all of these houses. He built about 60 of them just to perfect this idea of, like, a cheap, very, like, flexible house for mm-hmm. everyone to live in, but still looks nice. Mm-hmm. So now we pretty much use the same design to build, like, ranch houses and stuff. It's, like, the same thing.
Yeah.
Everything's cookie cutter. But that's why Frank Lloyd Wright is the reason why everything looks the fucking same. Okay. Yeah. He did designs for a campus and buildings of Florida Southern College in Lakeland.
Oh.
That was him. So he did some of those.
I've been past that. I've never actually been to that campus, though.
Well, if you ever want to go, field trip.
Field trip.
Podcast field trip.
Oh, my God.
We can do it. It's nearby.
Yes. It's like an hour away-ish. Hour and a half.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
We could do, like, a field trip to Orlando, too. I love Orlando.
Let's go, bitch.
Let's go, baby. The last decade of his life, he dedicated to building the Guggenheim Museum in New York City. Unfortunately, the museum would open 6 months after his death on April 19th, 1959, at the age of 91.
Damn.
Yeah, he was old, bitch.
Rip.
Wright is considered today to be the greatest architect of the 20th century and certainly in all of American history. And he probably would have been an even greater one, but you never trust a hoe. And the press didn't, so.
Yeah.
That's why he didn't get more commissions, and he was an even greater man.
Got him.
Got him. Never trust a fucking hoe, Mama.
Don't trust a hoe. Never trust a hoe.
Don't trust me. But also, I thought it was hilarious because I listened to, like, a murder documentary on him, and everyone was like, in the murder documentary, they were like, and it was suspected that because he was not married to Mama Cheney, but living with her, and they had an affair to become lovers.
Oh.
That was why such a tragedy befell.
That's so stupid.
And I'm just like, there was so many shitty things that you can do in this world, but, like, cheating is not a life or death situation.
There's so much to unpack here.
Like, seriously? It's like somebody, like, casts a spell and they're like, yes, well, they can, we'll kill them. That's what we'll do. We'll kill them all.
Kill the cheaters with the mistresses.
Even the children.
Kill the children. Especially the children.
That's what I find, like, most fucked up, though, is that, like, they just acted like babies, you know? And he tried to burn them after. That's bro, the one thing I didn't touch on.
That man, he was just fucked in the head.
He really was, but there was, like, writings about him, and to everyone's credit, so some of the survivors from the dining room that, like, hopped out and, like, basically got past his hatchet and, like, you know, knew exactly who was attacking them, they ran into town and they told everybody, like, fuck, we're being attacked, like, you know, they ran down the street and got help, and, of course, they found him, like, you know, the police found him, but also, like, everyone else found him. They were going to kill him. Like, they were, like, calling for him to die.
Mm-hmm.
And the police were like, no, no, no. He gets a right to a fair trial. Like, they kept him in jail. Like,
surprising.
They tried to feed him, like, whiskey and bread, and, like, they tried to, like, help him.
Whiskey? I feel like that would make it even worse.
So they originally didn't know he swallowed muriatic acid.
Ah.
So they thought that his throat was fucked up from inhaling smoke from the fire.
No wonder he fucking died, because that shit would burn so much.
Could you imagine?
No.
They were like, well, they gave him, like, water, whiskey, they gave him, like, coffee, like, they gave him, like, all kinds of stuff. And I don't know, it just didn't sound like he was able to eat anything. Yeah. Because, like, I could imagine once it starts to scar over, you know, it just, like, closes up your throat.
Well, then you're not producing any saliva.
Yeah.
So, like, that's what moves the food down through your esophagus into your stomach. Like,
yeah.
If you ain't got no saliva, that shit ain't moving.
Ooh, what a horrible death. Yeah. Yeah, he starved himself to death.
Well, it's his own fault.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, did he probably need psychiatric help? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he probably did.
But, I mean,
you know.
Who knows? I did like the fact that, and this is doing the bare fucking minimum,
right.
Like, but at the time where, you know, people of color were so,
yeah,
like, persecuted and everything was so fucked up,
right.
For them to be like, no angry mob. Yeah. I know he just killed, like, a mistress, a rich fucking white woman and her two children, yeah, along yeah, yeah, with four white men.
Right.
You can't just murder him. Right. Like,
yeah.
Let's put him in a jail cell and at least, like, try and figure out what happened.
Right.
And everybody, like, it seems like they did their due diligence with the investigation, too. Because the first place they went to was, like, they, like, got his wife and, like, protected his wife. And they were, like, come down to the station. You can be near your husband. Mm-hmm. But we do want to question you. But, like, just make sure you're not within sight of anybody, like, don't go outside. Yeah, right. And they basically, like, kept her safe from the angry mob who was, like, demanding blood.
Yeah.
And they talked to her. They were like, is there anything going on that we need to know about? And she was like, yeah, he's been, like, a little paranoid recently. We're like,
a little?
What do you mean a little paranoid?
Girl.
It sounds like they did their due diligence with the investigation.
Yeah.
Like, they literally tried to, there wasn't any, like, denying the fact that this guy did it, but they were right. Like, was there anybody who could have persuaded him to do it, paid him to do it? Mm-hmm. Like, do you think this is, like, he's capable of doing this? And she was like, well, now that you say that, like, you know.
Yeah. True that, true that.
But, man, fucking Frank Lloyd Wright. What a crazy life, right?
Yeah. Holy shit. I feel like I vaguely remember talking about that in one of Dr. Boyer's classes and just being like, what?
What?
Like,
what the F?
He what? And then, like, never thinking about it again.
Like, here's this famous architect. He also had a mass murder on his hands.
Yeah, basically.
It's literally called the Taliesin Massacre. That's yeah. what it's called.
Yeah.
And I didn't know about it until I was listening to, a murder podcast, like, episode, and I was like, oh my god, who's this? Frank Lloyd Wright? I was like, what'd he do? He's an architect. Yeah. I could do him on the pod.
Nice. I love how you tied that together.
I know. Murder mystery and art history.
Oh my gosh.
But I also do think, like, Frank Lloyd Wright, even though his buildings were kind of fucking boring, like, I think he deserves a little bit of, like, a clap. Because, yeah. like, I mean, the man really did, like, at the time where he was producing these, like, primary living houses and all of that,
yeah,
it was revolutionary for the time.
Yeah, he was doing some trailblazing.
Like, I can't be mad at that, you
right,
know?
Yeah. Innovation, baby.
Right. Like, nobody had ever seen that. So I'm sure if I was a person who lived in, like, 1909, mm-hmm. like, and I'm, like, you know, rich white woman, like, with my new hubby, and mm-hmm. I want to have a home to call my own, and I don't want it to look like everybody else's.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But I want it to have as big as possible with as cheap as possible. I get Frank Lloyd Wright to design my fucking home for me. Mm-hmm. Like, and it turns out, like, nice and flat and clean and crispy. Mm. I would have been like, I've yes. never seen anything like this before.
Oh, so much easier to vacuum when you don't have to go into multiple rooms.
Did they even have vacuums back then? I feel like they didn't. It was literally, like, mop and bucket time.
Oh, well, that's what the servants are for.
Right?
God.
I mean, if I was that rich, I don't... I probably was, like, middle class.
Yeah. What year were vacuum cleaners invented? 1901! Hey!
She did have a vacuum.
Nice. Nice, nice, nice. Okay. We love it.
The vacuum cleaner was harder to invent than you might think.
Well, you know.
Vacuum cleaners are over 100 years old. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
Well, this Wikipedia article says in 1860.
Wow.
Wow. Conflicting information.
Some people are really like, I don't want to fucking sweep anymore.
Oh, God. I honestly... Vacuum, so much better for getting up, like, pet hair and litter and shit.
Dude, my vacuum, because my hair is so fucking thick,
mm-hmm.
I have to slice it with a razor out yeah. of the runner
yeah.
every, like, 2 months.
Oh, I have to clean the vacuum, like, the brush thing every time I vacuum to get my hair out of it, so I don't have to do that.
I don't clean it out until it stops working. You're a
disgusting little freak.
It was like, I go, zoom, 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 and then it goes red, and I'm like, fuck! Like,
yeah, no.
And then I put it away for another month, and then I'm like, the floors are so dirty. I need to do something about this.
Oh,
so then I'm like, oh, the reason why I couldn't vacuum for a month was because...
See, if you just cleaned it out every time, you wouldn't have that issue.
I mean, I clean out the little, like, container thingy.
No, I'm talking about...
I don't want to clean
the hair. I'm talking about get the hair out every time.
No. Chelsea, don't make me.
I mean, I can't. I can just suggest it.
No, Mom, I don't want to clean it.
All right.
I'm not going to do it. Not doing it.
She ain't doing it. All right. Well, I think that this was a pretty good episode.
This was, we wrapped it all up. We did the whole thing. We talked about our shit.
Yeah.
Life updates were said.
Yeah.
Beanley, fuck you.
I think you'd actually like Beanley if you met him, though.
I'm going to... I don't care if I actually... Beanley's a fictional character on this pod right now. He's a real person, but he's fictional, like, yeah. in the fact that, like, he's a villain. I made him the villain of the pod. Because, you know what, Beanley? Fuck you. I hope he listens to this. Like, he has a backlog of episodes, and he's never going to know what's going to happen. He's going to listen. He's going to be like, what?
He's going to, Jocelyn, why is your friend so mean?
Beanley, I'm going to mention you in every single episode. You will never escape Beanley.
There's no escape.
I've never met you, but I would like to haunt your dreams. Oh. Oh, that was really... Did that sound awful?
That was so spooky. So spooky.
Right.
Speaking spooky of spooky boys. Things, I have a Twitter friend whose name is James, and his handle is Spooky Deer.
Oh, yeah.
And the other day I tweeted, I was like, you guys, give me suggestions for things to talk about on the podcast. And he was, like, saying some shit about Dadaism as a response to World War One. I was like, bro, do you want a guest? And he was like, yeah. I'm
like, how are we going to pull this off?
I have no idea.
Dude, I don't think we could do that.
I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure there's ways. We just have to research yeah. and execute the ways.
Yeah.
Which is a lot.
Yeah.
So. This way was already a lot.
I know.
We actually produced episodes. I was very surprised we'd get that far.
I know, right? Anyways, we might have a Midwest punk come on the podcast at some point.
A Midwest punk?
Yeah.
I'm down.
Yeah.
I feel like every decade episode, you know, when we get to the 10s, the 20s, the 30s.
Yeah.
Every big
20, 30, 40.
We need to have a guest. For those. Yeah. Like the 100th episode, I feel like we need to have like 5 guests.
I don't have enough mics for that.
2 guests.
We're gonna have to share mics.
If we figure out this spooky deer shit.
Yeah.
Spooky deer, come on the podcast. Honestly, I don't
come
even
on
shit
down,
who
deer.
Comes on the podcast.
Yeah.
Don't care.
She don't even give up art.
I don't give up art. We could even it'd probably have some interference. We could just hold the mic to this microphone.
I think there's a way to do it over Skype, but anyway, we'll figure it out.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Spooky Deer will be talking. You'll catch only our conversation.
I'll just be like, bro, record this. I mean, he streams on Twitch all the time. So.
Maybe Spooky Deer knows how to fix our mechanical issues.
Maybe. I don't know.
Friends of the pod.
Friends of the pod. Yeah. Anyway, you guys, thanks for hanging with us, if you're still here.
Thank you for everything. Beanley, fuck you.
Also, thank you to any stranger that has left a nice comment on the Instagram.
Oh, yeah. We had, like, a lovely message
We did. We had our first nice review from a stranger.
We are glad that you enjoy us. So glad. We're glad that we are, like, I think you said, like, friends.
Yeah. Curly Hair Annie. Shout out to you, girl.
Curly Hair Annie.
I'm so glad that you found our podcast and that you're a designer and a Gemini also. Love you.
I don't like that you're a Gemini, but, like, I guess I'll accept you as a person in this world. I'm kidding. I love you. I think that it's great that it's weird because, like, I feel like I never even assumed that anybody would ever listen to this. It was a struggle, let's just say this, to get my very best friends to listen to the first fucking episode.
Yeah.
And they were like, eh. So now I just talk shit about them because I don't care. I know they're never going to hear it.
Anyways, if you guys want a shout out on the pod, drop us some positive comments.
Yeah, we'll don't be a lurker. You don't get to be a lurker. I mean, we will.
Like, likes are appreciated on the posts, but, like, really, tell us your thoughts.
Yeah, let's just say this. If you like to be a lurker and you don't want us to mention it, DM us and we won't, like, blow your spot up. But if you're like, give me some clout, we will say your name.
Yeah, like, we'll shout you out.
We'll shout you out. And you just gotta be like, DM, quiet, quiet. I like you guys, but don't ever say my information publicly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Sorry, Curly Hair Annie, if you just didn't want us to do that.
Curly Hair Annie, put your shit on private.
Yeah. I mean, right now. Right now.
Anyway, I think that's everything I wanted to talk about tonight.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.